7, the book of Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go ahead and stand tonight and read the text tonight. I've taken my title of the message tonight in the first three words. Four words. For such a high priest. For such a high priest. Verse 26 of Hebrews 7. For such a high priest became us. Think about that. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Once. Listen, that verse right there shows us you can't be saved multiple times. Amen. There is no such thing as losing your salvation and then gaining it once again. For he died once when he offered up himself. No other priest has ever done this. For the law maketh men high priest which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. I want to preach tonight on such a high priest. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Once again, the book of Hebrews and all that it's given us thus far. For we understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is better than anything and everything. Better than the Old Testament. Better than Moses. Better than the angels. Better than Joshua. Better than the high priests that were that came one after the other. Better than even Melchizedek, who was the man who is very mysterious, but yet you came after that order, not after the order of the Levitical priesthood. I pray, Lord, that we might understand and make a serious application tonight from this passage. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. You might think, how do you apply a passage of scripture like this when doctrinally it speaks of everything about Jesus Christ and such a high priest? Now, let me just lay that application aside for just a minute, because I do have one, but we have come to this place where Paul is comparing the Lord, of course, Jesus Christ, to the high priest that came before him in the law and the Levitical priesthood. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not come from the Levitical priesthood. He did not come by heritage, if you would, because he is the eternal Son of God. He was after more the order of Melchizedek, who was not only a priest, but he was also a king. He was the king of Salem. And again, I want to deal with the aspect of the kingship of Jesus on Sunday night and finish up that message that he was born a king. Now, we know that there were many high priests throughout Israel's history. So while there were many priests that would serve in the capacity of the temple, there was only one high priest. And one of the main things that that high priest would do is he would make sacrifice for the people, especially on the Day of Atonement, which only came once a year. And after he would make a sacrifice for himself, why? Because he had infirmity. He had sin. He was not a sinless man. He had problems with his children. He probably dealt with finances. He probably had people that he had to deal with. He had his own issues, if you would. He had his own sin. And so he would have to have a sacrifice for himself, but it was still his duty. It was still a part of his service. It was still under the law that he would do the work where he would make an atonement for all of the people on the Day of Atonement. And he would go into the Holy of Holies, and there he would sprinkle that blood there on the mercy seat, which would picture what Jesus Christ would one day do in heaven. And he's already done that. And now we live this side of the law. We live this side of what took place in the Old Testament. We don't have priests today. Today we do not have priests. We do not have a high priest, a manly high, a man high priest. We do not go to the temple. That is not the way we worship. All right? We worship in spirit and truth in the church age. There are certain things that we do, of course, and there are certain ways that we worship. And one of the things that we need to understand is Jesus ever liveth to intercede for his people. Now, I want you to understand some things, about three things maybe, but then a whole lot of things underneath those three things. The first thing is the Bible says in verse 25, look at this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, does everybody see that? That the only way that you can get saved and the only way that you can come to God is by him. Is by who? Such a high priest, Jesus Christ. And by the way, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. And then once we come to God in salvation, listen to this, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Folks, he is our high priest. Now, you know, I get real upset, and you know, when I think about people trying to be a priest in the sense that they are going to come to God for you on their behalf, and that is aggravating on this side, but in the law, that's exactly what took place. They would be the intermediate. They would be the one that would they were the one that was qualified, if you would, to do the sacrifices. They were the ones that was qualified to be the priest. And they were qualified. They were to do that service. But listen, when we get saved by the grace of God, he's the one now that makes intercession for us. He is our high priest. He is the one we confess our sins to. He is the one that when we do wrong and confess, he's the one that forgives us. And I'm telling you right now, his salvation is the only salvation. His salvation, based on verse number 25, and by the way, he is able to save. He is the only one that is able to save. And the beginning word wherefore he is able, wherefore tells us that what Paul is about to say is based on what he has just said about the unchangeable and the permanency of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. In other words, because Jesus Christ is the permanent high priest, he is the unchangeable one, he is the one that is able to save. When those people came to the priest in the Old Testament, they came with a blood sacrifice. And they continually did that. But we don't have to do that anymore. We don't come to church with a blood sacrifice. Why? Because the blood has already been applied for us, and what we need to do now is come to God by him. Amen. We come to God by him. This man, Christ, because he continueth ever, verse number 24 basically says, but this man, if you just go up one verse, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, the Levitical priest had no ability to perfect sinners. And when we look at the Levitical high priest, he could only minister during his own lifetime. Jesus, on the other hand, continueth ever and hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, the whole idea of Jesus is better. He's a better priest. He's a better priest than that was ever before. And here's the thing about, he's the only one that can save. Now let me tell you something about his salvation. His salvation is with certainty. Wherefore he is able also to save. The word able means the ability with power. He is able to do this. He is the only one able to do this. He's the only one with the ability and power to forgive sins and save people. Amen. That's it. Jesus has the ability and Jesus has the power to complete the task. That's why the Bible makes it very clear. No one else can save. Why do people, And yet the whole religious world is about what can I do for salvation? No, it should be what's already been done. And we just have to accept it. Jesus saves. You know why Jesus saves? Because he's the Savior. And the work of salvation is a natural accomplishment of his person. It's natural. That's what he came for. And not only is salvation, praise God, with certainty, salvation through Jesus Christ is complete. Because verse 25 says that he saves to the uttermost that come unto God by him. In other words, what man needs, Jesus Christ is able to give him. Now, man thinks that he needs education, he needs more money, he needs whatever, fill in the blank. No, man needs forgiveness of sins. And the word uttermost is telling us or expressing to us the total idea of completeness. Anyhow, when we say that all you need is Jesus, really, we're saying all you need is Jesus. And really, we do. And those are not just words that are spoken. It's the truth. He owns us. He can do with us as he pleases. He's good all the time, no matter what happens. Philippians, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In the little book of Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are guaranteed that our Lord's salvation is not only certain, but it's complete. And then I'm telling you, praise God, that salvation brings confidence. I mean, if the people that are not right with God, let's put it this way, people that are sinning, they're not right with God, they're nervous all the time, they're jittery, listen, if you're right with God, and by the way, get right with God and stay right with God. That's one of the reasons we have church. That's one of the reasons that God, listen, why did God give them the high priest? So they could be reminded of their depravity, of their sin, that they needed to bring a blood sacrifice. You go to the law. Every little thing that they did wrong, God made a way for them to get right. And now all we have to do is just get right with God and stay right with God. In our spirit, the truth, he'll forgive us of our sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But we're so knot-headed and depraved and wicked, we got to come to church every day to be reminded how wicked we are. We have to read the Bible every day to straighten us up and have us to fly right. And that's why you have a preacher. That's why we have the Bible. That's why Jesus Christ is our high priest, is to remind us. So they needed a priest. They needed the prophets of the Old Testament. They needed Jeremiah. They needed Isaiah. They needed Elijah. They needed Elisha. They needed somebody to say, thus saith the Lord. So do we. So do we. Now listen, thing about me is not only do I preach this to you, when I'm preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to myself. And before I ever preach it to you, I got to study it and preach it before that. So most preachers are doubly wicked, I guess, because they got to get a double dose of it before they bring it to the people. People in the Old Testament needed a priest. People in the Old Testament needed a prophet. People in the Old Testament, they needed the scribes and they needed the people to tell them what the law said and remind them. They needed instruction. So do we. So in the same sense, God doesn't give us priests now. He gives us a pastor, and he gives us preachers and pastors, and we expose the Word of God. That's all we do. I don't like people who, I don't like the idea of getting up and reading a verse and then never telling anybody what it is and then going off on something and telling everybody what you want to say. I've heard so much preaching like that. That is not preaching. People need the Bible. They need the Word of God. They need to know that we have a priest, that we have salvation, that our salvation is certain, that it is complete, and it does bring confidence. It's only when we sin and get away from God that we don't have the confidence that we need. Listen, Listen, it should come down to when it's time for us to go, okay, well, guess we get to go to the other side. That's confidence. Seeing he ever, listen to this, verse 25. Here's the confidence. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A lot hangs on the words ever liveth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now what confidence is that? We're not going to die, we're just going to go to the other side. Unlike the Old Testament priest who was, listen, he was limited in his personal infirmities. He was limited in his term of office. He was limited because he was a person. But Jesus, on the other hand, is the sinless high priest ever liveth to bring us into perfection. Now the Bible teaches us here, and it says that he maketh intercession. That means he confers with. It means he entreats in favor of. You understand that the devil is still the accuser? And the devil is going to bring up everything that we do. He's going to try to tell us that we're not good enough or we're sinners. Well, I already know that. But I have a great high priest. Such a high priest that knows the feeling of my infirmities, yet without sin. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. That is certainty. That is complete. And that is great confidence. And when it says intercession, it is referring to such a high priest as Jesus Christ, whose ministry of pleading our case before God the Father. See, we don't have a chance without Jesus. We have no chance. You cannot get to God the Father unless you go through God the Son. And John said it like this in 1 John 2:1. He said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. All right? There is no excuse. So don't think, well, I'm just going to be one of those people. I'm just going to sin and do whatever I want. No. For him to knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him that it is sin. And John said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. All right? Now listen. So you don't have an excuse. You come to church. You know what the Bible says. You don't have an excuse. You can't do your own thing. You can do your own thing, but you'll have to pay the consequences. But then it goes on to say, and if any man sin, which we will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The word advocate is a judicial term, and it's the same idea of when you need a lawyer, you better go get a lawyer. Because you don't want to go and stand before a judge and jury by yourself. You do not want to do that. You want to have an advocate. Noah Webster says an advocate is one that pleads the case of another in a court of civil law, and your lawyer is supposed to plead in favor of you. He is supposed to defend you by argument. This is all Noah Webster. He is supposed to support you and try to vindicate you. Now think about that in the context of Jesus Christ. He pleads in favor of us. He defends us, and he argues, if you would like, and he tells the devil, get away, they belong to me. They're under the blood, my blood. I have forgiven them. They have certainty. They have my salvation. They have complete salvation, and they have confidence because of that salvation. I had a guy tell me one time, you can never really know. And to which I said, I really know. Amen. I have confidence in my salvation. I know where I came from. I know where I've been. I know who saved me. I know who forgave me. I know what it's like to be under the penalty of sin, be forgiven of sin. And I'm telling you, I don't mind saying I have confidence. Amen. Because he is my advocate. He delivers my case. Not only does Jesus Christ give us salvation, but Jesus Christ also gives us separation. Now, when it says in verse 26, for such a high priest became us. Think about that. For such a high priest became us. And then he says this. Now, is it true that we're to be Christ-like? Is that somewhere in the Bible? In Christians, the word Christian, Christ-like? Well, it says that our high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. In other words, Jesus Christ, you take all these words, holy, harmless, undefiled, separated, and by the way, he ate with sinners, but he didn't become a sinner. He came to forgive sinners. But the phrase became us means he represents us. He was fitting to represent us. Now, only the high priest was able or suited to stand in the presence of God on behalf of sinners. And I'm telling you, such a high priest as ours, he is holy. Completely. We're to be holy. And so God says, be ye holy as I am holy. We are to be harmless. We are to be undefiled. We are to be separate. It's in the Bible. And this word here about Christ is used to describe his pure, sinless character. First, he's holy. You know what that means? In this sense, it means he's free from sin. Second, he's harmless. That means that he is void of evil, free of malice. He's blameless. Third, he's undefiled. That means that Christ was free from moral impurity. Fourth, Christ is separate from sinners. That means he is free from contamination. Now, the Levitical priest, when in the sanctuary, when he went into the sanctuary, he was separated from the people. In Leviticus 21, it says, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And so there were certain things that the priest, Levitical priesthood, had to do. Now listen, Jesus on earth ate with sinners. He was the friend of sinners, but he never condoned sin. All right? So you need to understand, we need to be a friend of sinners. We need to eat with sinners. But it doesn't mean that we have to condone the sin. I'm telling you, we can speak the truth in love. And you can be bold and you can tell the truth. And listen, it's not unloving to tell somebody the truth. It's loving to tell somebody the truth. People need to know the truth. And I want you to know that such a high priest as ours, he gave us salvation. Such a priest of ours, he gave us separation. Such a priest of ours, listen, look at verse 27. He gave sacrifice that nobody else could give, who needeth not daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. That's why John the Baptist, when Jesus Christ first came into the ministry, if you could put it like that, he took one look and he declared with a loud, I believe, a John the Baptist-like voice, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Note, every Jew knew what that meant. Every Jew understood the Passover. And I'm telling you, Jesus didn't have to offer sacrifices daily like the Levitical priest. The high priest of the Old Testament went into that most holy place, as I mentioned earlier, once each year on the Day of Atonement. But not only did they do that, you understand, they brought daily offerings every day, every day. Jesus doesn't have to do that. He only did it once. In fact, in Exodus, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Exodus 29:38. One lamb had to be sacrificed every morning. Another lamb had to be sacrificed every evening. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the evening. That's what Exodus 29 says. And you understand, my friend, that the Levitical priest was a sinner just like the rest of the people. Therefore, he had to offer first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus only had to do it once. Why? Because he's perfect. Now, really, what does this have to do with us tonight? Well, first of all, you can't be saved. I mean, everybody needs to understand. You cannot be saved unless you come to God through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just, That's number one application. But when you begin to think about the priest and all that the priest did and the daily sacrifice, listen, let me tell you something. God used men in the Old Testament to do His will. You know, Moses. Moses was used to give the law. Moses was used to give us the Ten Commandments. Moses was used to give the blueprint for the temple. Moses was used by God to be the leader of the people of Israel, and he was held very in high esteem. And then Aaron, his brother, became that first high priest. And Aaron was a sinner. Good night, the guy was dancing around naked around a calf and causing other people to do it. And that's the guy that became the first high priest. You want to scratch your head? And you would think, man, that guy disqualified himself. God's up there, Moses is up there being given the instructions of how these people are supposed to live, how the law is going to cause them to live among each other, how God's going to give them the land, and when they go into the land, what they're supposed to do. God's given them the instructions on what to do. God used Moses. God used Joshua to help the people get into the land. God used the judges. God used David the king. God used the prophets, but God used the priest. Listen, God's still using us today. God uses men who have infirmities. I think you understand that God uses men to help other people. Pastor, God gives a church's pastors, a gift to the churches to remind them of who they are, what they should be doing. What does the Bible say? The priest was to teach the law. The high priest was to do the daily sacrifice. Prophets were to declare, "Thus saith the Lord." God's still using people today. He's using deacons and Sunday school teachers, and he's using bus workers and nursery workers. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just saying, God uses us in all kinds of situations. But there's only one high priest. All right? There was only one high priest in the Old Testament. The problem with him is he had infirmity. He had sin. And so he had to sacrifice for himself before he could sacrifice for the sins of the people. Listen, we, on the other hand, yeah, God still uses people. But look at verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. These men had faults. These men had failures. They did not always please God. Can I tell you, their flesh flared up like ours does. Son, help me to keep my flesh in check. They had bad days. We have bad days. You ever have a bad day? Huh? You ever have a bad day? Not me. Oh, yeah. Because I'm one of those infirmary guys. Yeah. Yeah. They were not perfect husbands. They had trouble with their kids. But the law compelled them to serve. If we apply this to the New Testament, the calling of God is without repentance. God uses men who have infirmities. But the Word of God in the New Testament compels them to serve and to give and to preach. Verse 28 says, "But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." By oath of God Almighty, Jesus Christ has been consecrated forevermore. He is our eternal high priest. That's why when I say in one of my little ministry statements, I've got 31 rules of ministry, one of them is this: I, Pastor Jeff Abels of Berea Baptist Church, am not the priest of your home. I'm not a priest. I am not here to dictate your life. I'm not here to tell you what kind of car to buy, what job to have. I am here to preach the Word of God. Now, but I can give you principles. of what the Bible says. I'll give you biblical advice. I will preach the Word of God. You know what? Because I know and I've seen for 30 years the Word of God change lives. It is amazing. It is totally amazing. And I wish preachers across America, I wish people who I mentioned a while ago who stand up and read a verse and then never say anything about what the Bible says, if they would just preach the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and is able to pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and is a discerner of your thoughts and the intents of your heart, and it is the Holy Ghost of God along with the Word of God that will split you wide open and convict you of who you are and what you need to do and how you need to be right with God. Our service has not, and again, I am not the priest of your home. You know why? Because you have a priest. And His name is Jesus Christ. And you can go boldly to that throne of grace and you can obtain mercy in time of need. That's, you know what? We had a guy here, always proud, about 15 years ago. I'm telling you, why do weird stuff always want to show up in church? I don't know. I've heard everything. I've seen everything. People want to tell me everything. I get notes in the mail. I get emails. And I'm just telling you, I've heard it all, mostly. And a guy comes in and said he needs to talk to me. Okay. And he told me that we needed to get rid of the altars and the invitations at our church. And I said, sounds to me like you're probably a Calvinist or something. I said, you know what, buddy? I didn't even use the word buddy because I don't like people to say, hey, buddy. I'm not your buddy. So I didn't say buddy. I say to something, why don't you go pastor your church? Why don't you go pastor a church? So you can take the altars out and you don't have to give an invitation. But at Brian Baptist Church, we're going to have invitations. Amen. We're going to keep the altars open. Amen. We're going to give people an opportunity to get right with God at the altar. There's nothing wrong with that. God still uses men, but men are not priests. Men are preachers. Men are to rightly divide the Word of God. And tell our high priest, his consecration is eternal. Jesus Christ is perfect. And so why would any man want to be a priest when we have a great high priest? Or I should say, such a high priest who gives salvation, who gives separation, who calls us into service. His salvation is complete. His salvation is certain. His salvation brings confidence. His sacrifice, listen to this, is once and eternal. And His service to us as a high priest, listen, is forever. You know why? Because He'll never die. Priests come and go in the Old Testament. High priest came and went. Preachers, like people, will come and they will go. And the world will continue on. And the Lord's church will continue on. Amen. And preachers need to keep preaching. You know, I told a preacher today, you know, I said, he called me and was asking for advice and different stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? The Lord knows how to take care of His church better than any man does. It's His church. And sometimes you go to the book of the Revelation and you read that the Lord just closes up churches for a reason. And you know what? We hear this all the time. 3,000 church planter gets up. 3,000 churches close a year. And then I don't know how true that is. And a lot of times what they call a church ain't a church in the first place. So I don't know how they get all these statistics. They're the Lord's churches. Leave them alone. And by the way, don't mess with the Lord's church. That is a dangerous place to be. But there's a reason why a lot of them are closing. Because there's nobody preaching the Word of God. There's nobody serving. There's people. No, listen. I'm going to tell you right now. Jesus Christ is such a high priest that we can have salvation. We can have confidence. His sacrifice is once And his service is forever. My service ain't going to be forever. And your service ain't going to be forever. But his is. So when we come to the altar, come to the high priest. For such a high priest. Come to him. When you want to get right with God, don't come to me. If you want to get right with me, come to me. You want to get right with God? Come to the high priest. Talk to him. He's waiting. And I love the idea that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. Yes, God uses men to help people. But we have, hey listen, we have the greatest, the eternal, the holy, the harmless, the undefiled, the one who is separated from sinners and made higher than the heavens. That's who I serve. And that's who I answer to. And that's who you serve. And that's who you answer to. Such a high priest. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Men will let you down because men have faults and men have failures. But our Savior, our priest, such a high priest, is holy, harmless, undefiled. He is able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He ever liveth to maketh intercession for us. He will plead on our behalf. Tell you. For such a high priest as this. Father, pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts if there's anything that we need to ask for forgiveness for, we need to come to you for. I pray, Lord, tonight we would do that. Lord, thank you that you are our great high priest. Thank you, Lord, that you're separated from sinners, that you're holy, that you're harmless, that you're undefiled, and that you make intercession for us on our behalf. If we come to you, I think about men of the Old Testament who never came and they never brought a sacrifice. They never asked for forgiveness. Lord, there's many people that are condemned tonight. They're unsaved and they're under the condemnation of their sin. But Lord, we have a Savior tonight they can come to. They can come unto God by Him, Jesus Christ. They can be saved. And then they can have a priest. They can have a high priest who ever maketh intercession for us. I thank you for that, Lord, tonight. God, I pray that we would apply this message to our life in this way, that we would take opportunity to go to our high priest in time of need. In Christ's name we ask, amen. We're going to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, 505. We'll sing a couple of verses tonight. Have Thine